Scores of baby seabirds from Papahanao Mokuakea traveled 1,300 miles on an airplane bound for Oahu's North Shore this spring. The rescue mission involved birds at risk because of sea level rise. The rescue chicks include black-footed albatrosses and two types of petrels. Take a listen to a day in the life of wildlife biologist Leilani Falk. Now, that was the sound of preparing a fish smoothie for the youngest residents of the Wildlife Preserve. Now, the restaurant-grade recipe includes several types of fish and squid, as well as salmon oil and electrolytes. It makes for a long day for Leilani and other staffers who are working to give the chicks a fighting chance at survival. You see, the seabird parents normally forage for food and then regurgitate the contents of their stomachs into the mouths of their hungry chicks. Thus, the necessary high-powered blenders, you know, like the Vitamix and Blendtec or the Ninja variety that you may have in your kitchen. We went along on part of a public tour at the James Campbell Wildlife Refuge on Oahu's North Shore. Here's Leilani Falk with an update on the chicks, some of which who have flown the coop.
The bone and petrel chicks, they're pretty much still on an everyday basis. When we get little birds, we like to get them stabilized. So what we mean by that is we want to make sure that if they have any problems inherited, so when we pick up chicks, we don't always know what chicks we're picking up and what problems that they're going to have. Just because they have good weights, good wing cords, and good behavior doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be healthy. So the first couple weeks are really critical, and so we like to feed the chicks every day, not just to get a consistent feed in them, but also every day we do a health check to make sure that everything's on track.
Now, the bone and petrels, they're much larger birds than the Tristan petrels, right?
Yes, that is true. To give an idea, some of our tristrams, they came in at like 126 grams, I think was one of our averages. One of our bone and petrel chicks came in over 300 grams.
Okay. So now the actual feeding of these chicks, the storm petrels, they have little tiny beaks.
They do. They have the tiniest beaks. If you were to probably cut your pinky into a third, that might be about how long their bill is.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yes.
So it's pretty intensive.
So we have to have also very specialized tools then while we're feeding them. And so each bird has a different size, too, based on their personal body size.
I mean, you're like a neonatal nurse, really.
It feels like that so often. We currently have a chick that came in with a congenital issue. So he has, we think it's something neurological. But he had a hard time with his right leg. So what we had to do is we had to give him a splint. We're actually doing physical therapy with him every day to try to build up those muscles so he'll be good to go.
So this is really intensive care.
It is. It is. I mean, these guys, when we pick them up, a lot of them are only 20 days old. And so it's like taking a 20-day-old baby and you becoming their parent. So you inherit all the intensive care. Even more so with these guys because they develop much faster than humans do. And so they're cramming in all that intensive care time into a very small window.
So now,
they are a lot to do.
So you had that first group of Tristram Storm Petrels come in, oh gosh, that was more than a month ago. But how are they doing? Have some of them matured enough so they're out on their own?
Yes. Oh, I love that. So Tristram Storm Petrels, most of them are actually out at sea right now. So they came in the first week of April, and we have 5 out of the 42 left.
Impressive.
Yes. So everybody, almost all of them are out at sea. So we still have 5, and it's like the youngest birds that are left. So we anticipate that they'll be going in the next couple of weeks.
So I imagine your staff must just be all like proud mamas on Mother's Day. Like, wow, we did it. They're on their own. They're strong enough. They've got the wind beneath their wings.
That is one of the happiest moments for our job, is knowing that we got those guys out healthy, out into the ocean, and that they have the best shot possible. Mostly because with wild populations, I think the average success rate is like 30 to 50. And since we have over 90% success rate, no matter what happens, whether they return to us or not, these guys have a really good chance of succeeding.
Now, when I was out there, I saw that you had, I think it was the black-footed albatross in their little hut. So have you had to build additional ones for the bottom petrels?
Oh, that's a great question. So the albatross and petrels, they have very different natural histories. So albatross, they sit and nest above land. With the bone and petrels, Tristram storm petrels, they are a burrowing species, so we had to make custom burrows for them. So they do have custom housings that we did have to make, but you just can't see them from above ground.
Explain to our listeners why we have had this rescue effort going on. Why do we bring these little chicks in?
That is a great question. And the most simple answer is because they're in a very precarious position. The way I like to describe it to people that come out to our site is you can imagine your house is within 2 meters of the ocean's edge. So 2 meters pretty much of the high tide point. Not necessarily the safest spot for a house. We have, anytime we'd have a king tide event, a tsunami, a hurricane, any sort of storm surge, tropical storms, your house is going to get washed away, and that is the actual reality for the majority of these individuals. The black-footed albatross, Tristram storm petrel, and bonum petrel really like to be within about 2 meters of the ocean's edge, which means that these guys are really at risk of having not only their nests destroyed, but the chicks drowning every year due to the effects of climate change and sea level rise. And a lot of people, when they hear those things, they just think, like, ocean's rising, you know, like 1/8 of an inch each year. That's not that big of a deal. But when you add that up over 20 or 50 years, you're talking about feed that is gone where these guys used to nest. Also, another thing a lot of people don't think about is the increased storm intensity and frequency that associates climate change. Just to give numbers to people who may not be aware, in 2011, when the tsunami hit the northwestern Hawaiian Islands, on Midway, 56% of the nests were lost from one event. So if we keep having events like that are happening, then these populations are going to continually be cut and cut and cut until the populations that are left won't actually be genetically functioning.
And that is a pretty drastic number. And these are,
it is.
Are they endangered birds? What is the status?
That's a great question. And we're actually trying to prevent them from getting to that point. So the black-footed albatross, Tristram storm petrel, are both classified as near threatened on the IUCN. So that's what we use to measure, I guess, where their population status actually is.
Okay. So how long have we been doing this, this rescue effort?
It is an SOS. We started in 2015 with our translocations. It started off with Laysan albatross. And it's a little bit revolutionary in the Hawaiian Islands. Translocations really got started in New Zealand. And so bringing that technology over here, you know, everybody's a little bit hesitant to jump on the bandwagon when they don't know what the success is going to look like. But after our 100% success that first year, we've been able to just continually build. So in 2015, we had 10 birds. This year, we had over 140.
Wow, that's pretty impressive that you've been able to increase the load like that. How soon before the albatross and the bonum petrels get out the door?
So the bonum petrels, one of our oldest birds, could actually go within the next week, maybe 10 days or so. So we're pretty excited for them to start leaving as well. And the last bonum petrel, we estimate, will leave around like the 20th of June. For our albatross, they are a species that needs intensive care. So we picked them up in the middle of February, and they are getting cared for all the way until like the last week of June. So and that magic window changes every year depending on personal bird weights, also depends on weather conditions. So we have our fingers crossed that the third or fourth week of June, all the albatross will be out the door.
So what are you going to do with yourself?
I think everybody on the team is going to take a month hiatus and just take time off. And then we start prepping for our translocations over on Kauai.
Wow. Okay. So you don't have too much time to rest because you'll be busy.
Exactly. Yep. So we do black-footed albatross, Tristram storm petrel, bonum petrels on Oahu, and then we do Newell shearwater and Hawaiian petrel over on Kauai. And those guys are both classified as critically endangered and endangered.
And will that take you to the rest of the year?
Yeah, that'll take us through December, and then come January, we come right on back and start over again.
Okay. Well, you better eat your Wheaties. Thanks so much, Leilani, for your time. I mean, my gosh, when you were saying you were going to be done with feeding at 1, I was like, holy moly, you've been up for a long time.
They need a lot of love.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's definitely worth it, especially if we're going to help these birds and secure their populations in the future. The work's not a problem. We're happy to do it.
All right. Well, thank you for what you do.
Well, thanks. And thanks for having me. It was great chatting with you.
The Rescue Chick Project is a joint effort between the James Campbell Wildlife Refuge, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and the Pacific Rim Conservation, the Department of Defense, and the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and the David and Lucille Packard Foundation. The James Campbell Refuge will offer public tours of the preserve to see the shorebirds starting in October. The open house tours for the seabirds will pick up again next spring. For links, go to hawaiipublicradio.org.